For online students of the world, today we'd like to see the title they had in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 7 through 23. For online courses students, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verses 13 and 14, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of a promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. What do they mean? What do two verses mean in this context? Question 2. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what are the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance. Disciple Paul talks about what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. The question basically, what are those? The last question in verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. What does it mean in this context? This chapter, last time we saw verses from 1 through 6, and basically every spiritual blessing wrapped up into the Jesus Christ, or all spiritual blessings bound up into Jesus Christ, or by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, or from Jesus Christ, which means without Jesus Christ, we would not get any spiritual blessings at all. So verse 1 said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Here, disciple emphasized, I was called by the will of God, not in human will, not self-will. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Here, to the saints, meaning the believers, or whoever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are called the saints in this letter. Not like in a certain Saint Junction or the particular person. This is to the saints in simply whoever are called according to God's purpose by only each faith in Christ. So grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 3 and 4, 5, 6 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, which meaning many spiritual blessings. So basically disciple Paul lists many spiritual blessings in the heavenly place in Christ. Here, the spiritual blessings in Christ. So without faith in Christ, nobody could get spiritual blessings at all. So that means basically every spiritual blessing in Christ. Somebody, you know, we call somebody, God bless you or bless you, but the hearer, if a hearer is not born again Christian, unfortunately, he or she could not get the blessing, because every blessing only comes from Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. So God chose each of you in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, which means before the creation of heaven and earth. That's just so amazing, you know, blessed. Each of them, you know, God, you know, was already called, you know, to be saved. When? Before the creation of the earth and heaven, before creation of all universe, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Disciple talks about should. Should meaning, you know, it's we not enough to be holy, or not enough to be no blame, but we are trying to be holy. We are becoming to be holy and to be no blame before Him in love, before God in love, having predestined, which means predetermined by God, us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. Here, disciple talks about blessing sons by Jesus, adoption. So we are becoming adopted sons or adopted children because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, according to the good pleasure of His will. Here, good pleasure of His will, which means good pleasure of God's will, not human will, not your will or not my will, according to good pleasure of God's will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Why? Because God wants to be praised by creatures, including us. You know, that kind of the mean by which He made us accepted in the beloved. Here, beloved, New King James Version, B is a capital B, beloved Jesus Christ. So capital New King James Version indicates, you know, capital means God or Jesus Christ or Holy Spirit, because Trinity God, God the Father is God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is also God, creator, not creature. Also the Holy Spirit is God, or called as the Spirit of Christ. Verse 7, in Him we have a redemption through His blood. Here in Him, in verse 6, lots of the beloved in Him, which meaning in Jesus, we have a redemption through His blood. Redemption is another spiritual blessing. So first of all, what does redemption mean? Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 through 54, basically God, you know, talks about redemption. Now, if a sojourner or a stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwells by him becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner close to you, or to a member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. Basically, God talks about, you know, Jewish people. In the Old Testament, basically, God handled Jewish people as the children of God. You know, certain Jews or a child of God was sold to a stranger or a sojourner because he's poor. You know, that kind of thing. That case, you know, he as a slaver would be redeemed to a free man. That's called basic redemption. Redemption, which meaning simply, you know, I or somebody pay certain amount of money to owner of a slavery, then the slavery's status would be changed to be a free man. That is basically called redeemed. One of his brothers may redeem him. Basically, the slave relatives who are Jewish, so relatives, you know, they might be rich, so one of them could pay that money to redeem his relative and a slave to free man. You know, that kind of meaning means one of his brothers may redeem him or his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is near of a kin, which means relative, to him in his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. So, you know, he may redeem himself, which means he might earn, you know, certain amount of money to pay back the present, pay back the debt, you know, to owner. So that case, you know, he may redeem himself. So redemption means it comes from the Old Testament. Here, disciple talks about, you know, redemption. Basically, Jesus Christ paid the price. So what's the price? Price of Jesus' blood. No? So pay. So therefore, the slavery is to sin. You know, so we could get, you know, freedom from sin. You know, that kind of a sense, you know, basically. That's why, you know, the redemption. So we are redeemed from the slavery to sin by Jesus Christ paid the blood sin. That means, you know, that's why disciple talks about spiritual blessing, redemption through his blood. Next, the spiritual blessing to forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins in the Old Testament, you know, my relative, you know, might pay certain slavery money to redeem me. That case, I am no longer a slave, you know, because of my, you know, uncle or, you know, my relative paid slavery money to owner. So I am no longer, you know, slavery status. Forgiveness of sin, which means this case, slavery to sin, which means I am no longer sinners. I am no longer sinner. Why? Jesus Christ paid Jesus' blood to pay back sin. So that means, you know, forgiveness. Forgiveness and redemption. Redemption, you know, focus on status changes from slavery status to free man. Forgiveness is a cleans away, you know, sin, cleans away, you know, slavery, the essence, you know, kind of thing, you know, forgiveness. To the riches of his grace. Here, his grace meaning, you would not have no merit to redeem by yourself. You know, grace meaning totally 100% given by God freely. That's why here disciple talks about, you know, his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So basically, God, you know, gave her totally freely, you know, redemption and forgiveness to each of you who accept his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a savior. Very simple. That's what disciple here talks about, you know, grace. So in New Testament, we can see many Bible verses. I am reading quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought at a price of Jesus' blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you are bought by God. That's why, you know, you should glorify God. You know, you should praise God. Because he is an owner. I am not owner any longer. That's why here, which are God's. Because God owns you by paying his son blood.
Yeah.
That's why you should glorify God. You know, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Or Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the Lord. Basically, means Christ has redeemed us from the slavery to the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So Jesus Christ take over our, you know, the position. So that is called, you know, substitutory crucifixion instead of over, you know, my sin and your sin. So Jesus Christ, you know, take over on the cross our sins in order to pay off our sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 24 and 25, being justified freely by his grace. Here again, freely by his grace. Freely, which meaning you do not require anything else. You don't have to pay money. You don't have to labor to get, you know, salvation. You know, nothing. You know, only require just whether or not you accept or reject.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple. Not require any labor at all. That's why justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. Propitiation, which means peacemaker between God and us. Because without Jesus Christ, you know, God would never you know, accept us, because Jesus Christ paid the sin. That's why, you know, God could make a peaceful relationship with us by his blood through faith. Here indicate through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his perseverance God has passed over the sins or cleansed away the sins that were previously committed. Romans chapter 5 verse 9, much more than having now been justified by his blood. Justified meaning you are no longer sinner, but you are deemed as righteous, you know, just like Jesus Christ. Because justified by his blood, who shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath meaning the result of sin. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14, in whom we have a redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So redemption, forgiveness, spiritual blessings, you know, talks about here. The First Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, which meaning without sin. So you are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not, you know, corruptible thing, material thing, you know, gold and silver like that. You know, in the last time the Japan, you know, tsunami, so many people were, you know, victimized, and that time nobody wanted to get, you know, gold or silver in order to survive. You know, the gold and silver were, you know, useless. They needed food, you know, so to, you know, feed up, you know, by themselves, so something like a corruptible thing. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of your sin, God would not have a relationship with you, but Jesus Christ's blood said you are close or you are near to God. So right now we could have a relationship with God. Last one, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, and according to the law almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. So in the Old Testament, you commit a sin, you should bring an animal, you know, like a cow or a goat or a ram, you know, lamb, you know, whatever. So that is according to priest, you know, inquiry. So that moment the priest killed that animal, so dead animal shed in the blood. You know, dead means that the blood cleanses away dead sin. But in the Old Testament, the offering is a temporal, because whenever you commit a particular sin, you should bring, you know, certain animal to priest. So priest kill dead animal to cover up or to cleanse away that particular sin only, not, you know, entire sin. But Jesus got blood said cleanse away all sin once he was killed on the cross. That's why, you know, whenever you commit a sin, you should, you know, pray to the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. You should ask forgive, you know, your sin. So at that moment, your sin would be completely forgiven, cleansed away. Why? Because Jesus Christ bloodshed on the cross only once completely cleansed away all sins. So whatever sin. So verse next one is verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullest of the times, dispensation, which meaning, you know, God's administration for certain times. That means simply dispensation. Or fullest of the times. Times plural, which meaning not, you know, only one time. Basically, Old Testament time and the New Testament time. So the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Because in the Old Testament, before Jesus Christ came on the earth, so that time, you know, the different requirement to the people who lived in the Old Testament. Basically, keep, you know, God's word. You know, otherwise, would be punished by God. So, but in New Testament, totally different. We have believed, we have accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, you know, our Savior. You know, that kind of, you know, different. That's why here talking both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. Predestined meaning predetermined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. His will, which meaning, you know, God's will, not my will and your will. That we who first trusted in Christ or who believed in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. So basically, you know, the Jews or Gentiles in one body with Christ as the head. Because in the Old Testament, you know, basically God primarily concerned the Jewish people, but in the New Testament, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, which meaning not only including Jewish people, but also Gentiles too, you know, non-Jews like you. You know, we are not, you know, Jews, you know, everybody. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 3:11, basically, you know, talks about that. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee meaning not only Jews, but also Gentiles, of those in heaven. Of those in heaven, angels too, a lot of, you know, angels too. Of those on the earth, earth is here, you know, people or, you know, creatures, a lot of animals, you know, dog or, you know, animals. Of those under the earth is, you know, Satan or devil, you know, a lot of, you know, darkness, power. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Even Satan or evil, you know, the Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, the James, you know, the Bible said, you know, the devil know God. You know, so although they do not, you know, believe in God, but they know, you know, God. You know, so something like that. So everything, you know, everything bow, you know, Jesus Christ. So verse 13, in him you also trusted, in him you also believed, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is question one, verse 13 and 14, what do they mean? So in him, which meaning in Christ or in Jesus, you also believed, after you heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. So when you hear of the gospel of your salvation, you accept, you trust in Jesus Christ. That moment, you are saved, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, your sin completely cleansed away, you are forgiven. So in whom also, having believed, you are sealed. Now, verse 13 talk about, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, after you heard over the gospel of salvation, that moment you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed meaning seal, you know, meaning actually a symbol over ownership, you know, seal, symbol. One example, you know, in middle states, you know, over the United States, you saw, you know, many cow, domestic cows, you know, you could, you know, easily find a certain, you know, stamp, certain seal, you know, each cow, that seal, you know, really symbol of ownership, you know, exactly the same meaning right here, symbol of ownership, of whom? Of God. So you trust in Jesus Christ, once you heard of the gospel, or the truth of salvation, so you are owned by God, or you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, you know, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells in each of you, sealed. Who is the guarantee? Here, guarantee. Guarantee is a little different angle, means guarantee meaning deposit or, you know, earnest money. So for example here, escrow company, you know, put, you know, certain amount of money into escrow company, although you didn't pay entire money, market price entire money, then moment when you put certain deposit into escrow company, then meaning you are deemed owner of that particular property. That kind of means right here, inheritance. So certain, you know, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that moment there is the Holy Spirit as a likely guarantee or earnest over our inheritance. Inheritance means kingdom of God. So until you meet God in the heaven, the Holy Spirit is just like deposit or earnest money during escrow period. Escrow meaning during your physical life. Yeah. Physical life. Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Until the complete redemption of the purchased possession. So when you go into heaven, you would live there forever. So forever, the redemption of the purchase of possession. So redemption, you know, the meaning is basically three steps. Well, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been redeemed in present perfect tense, you know, by the law. But during your physical life, you are being redeemed in a progressive kind of sanctification. Then when you go into the heaven, you will be redeemed. You know, that is a future tense. This is until the redemption of the purchased possession, which meaning future tense, because we are living on the earth right now. So how can we meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Only two ways. One is when Jesus Christ coming in heaven, that moment, you know, according to Bible, we will be cut off, you know, to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the heaven. You know, that case, number one. Number two, before Jesus Christ coming in heaven again, we our physical body, we will die, you know, physical, which means separation, physical body and Holy Spirit and soul. That moment, Holy Spirit and soul immediately will go into heaven in mansion. So there we live there. Then is Jesus coming again in heaven. So the Lord will make each of us with new body made by heaven. So those are things, you know, talks about in the Bible. Verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, here, you know, basically disciple, you know, praying for the efficient Christians. Your faith in the Lord, because your faith is growing. Your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints. So all the believers in faith and love of God is growing. So do not cease to give thanks for you. So therefore you should give thanks to the Lord, because the Holy Spirit work in each of you in Ephesians church. So therefore your faith is growing, your love is growing. So who make your faith, your love grow? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That's why you should give thanks to God. Here, basically, for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in verse 17, very important, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, not in creatures, not in Michael. Michael is an angel, you know, angel, which meaning created a thing of a spirit, spiritual thing created by God. There is a creature. Michael is a creature, but Jesus Christ, God, creature. So Jesus Christ is never a counterpart over Michael or Satan or a devil, because of Michael, archangel, or a Satan, or a devils, all of them are creatures, not creator at all. Because the Bible said here, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God, creator. The Father of glory may give it to you the Spirit. Here indicated the Spirit, which meaning the Holy Spirit, not in the evil spirit. The Holy Spirit of wisdom or and revelation in knowledge of Him. So basically, Holy Spirit give wisdom, reveal the knowledge of God. So without Holy Spirit, we could not understand the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. That's why the Bible said the Holy Spirit teaches you, the Holy Spirit gives wisdom to you how to apply God's Word to each life. Or the Holy Spirit would reveal God's Word. Here Jesus said, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of wisdom, revelation, which meaning reveal it, so make you understand, you know, from non-understanding, you know, wisdom of revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding. So basically the Holy Spirit give wisdom, reveal understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, in the believers. Here the question to you, what are the hope for His callings? Hope, which means the Bible, you know, talks about a lot of hope. So we said, you know, The First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 simply said, the First Timothy chapter 1 verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Basically, disciples are talking about Lord Jesus Christ himself is our hope. What does it mean, you know, Lord Jesus Christ himself is our hope? Our hope meaning the hope of all Christians. What does it mean? Because our life by itself is just like the Lord Jesus Christ's life. Or our life is being the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, for example, I want to be a particular, you know, profession job. For example, teacher or engineer. But that engineer job also, in order to glorify God. So I want to work as an engineer, just like, you know, Jesus' heart. That's why, you know, we talk about, you know, the ultimate that we can say our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me read, you know, the many things. Romans chapter 8, verse 23-24 here. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. Here, this hope meaning eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, where? In the heaven, in the future. So this is eagerly waiting. In other words, eagerly waiting to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. That is the same thing. So from beginning, I told you, all spiritual blessings wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. This hope, but hope that is a sin is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? So eagerly waiting for the adoption to redemption of our body, that is hope. So basically, in order to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 said, there is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of your calling. One hope, one offer, ultimately into the Lord Jesus Christ. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Here in heaven, hope. So ultimately we'll be saved when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavens. That's why salvation, you know, three steps. One is present perfect tense in salvation, or in a progressive salvation. That is the ultimate future salvation. Yeah. That is a kind of thing. That kind of logic, that kind of reasoning, that's why we can say our hope and ultimate simply said the Lord Jesus Christ. Because disciples said the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. So here, the First Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, in our Lord Jesus Christ, patience of hope. Sometimes our life on the earth, we suffer, you know, financially or physically, or, you know, some mentally, you know, many ways. But we have hope to see our Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope to be adopted the children of God in heaven, or we to reside in the kingdom of heaven, you know, forever. Now that's why, you know, we are still waiting, you know, patiently for seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. So question two means basically, question two, in the hope, you know, what is the hope is verse 18. Yeah, what is the hope of his calling? Basically, hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say, which are the richest of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Particularly this case, you know, the hope of his calling, God's calling, to hope to inherit into the kingdom of God. You know, so forever, you know, so God's glory, you know, that is means. So we can say ultimately our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because everything wrapped up or bound into the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the exceeding graciousness of his power? His power meaning God's power or Holy Spirit's power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Mighty power is God's power, particularly talks about resurrection. Because God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, you know, that kind of thing. God worked in Christ when he raised him. God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him. God seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places. Right now, Jesus Christ, you know, sits at God's right hand in heavenly places. Far above, heaven above all principality and power and mighty dominion. Those are things about the order over angels, either good or evil. So principality, power, mighty dominion. That is like the soldiers, for example, you know, there is a lieutenant, captain, colonel, star, you know, that kind of power in the structure, principality, power, might, dominion. So the order over angels, you know, good or evil. That kind of talking about the Bible, you know, several I am reading quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent and now the manifold wisdom or many wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly place. So principalities and powers, the order of angels. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the power, against the rulers of darkness of this age. This is a talk about evil angels. Evil angels are basically such as Satan, devils, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Galatians chapter 1 verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions. Here again, dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Basically, all creatures through Jesus Christ and for him by Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2 verse 10, you are complete in him who is the head over all principality and power. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the head, you know, above all creatures, including visible creatures or invisible creatures, everything. Then to the church here. That is now to talking about above all principality, power, and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come in the future. Which is to come. So in the Bible, it talks about millennial kingdom will come here, or great tribulation will come. So no matter what future come, the Lord Jesus Christ had above all creatures, and he put all things under his feet. So, you know, all, you know, even enemies and everything will be under his feet. Right now, you know, Satan worked in strongly, devil worked strongly, you know, sometimes, you know, devils, you know, they work through family members like that. So, but until the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 13, But to which of the angels has he ever said, God ever said, sit at my right hand? So because God told Jesus, sit at my right hand, at God's right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool. So right now, Satan was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross with bloodshed and raised again, you know, from the dead. But Satan is not terminated yet. But in the Bible, Book of Revelation, chapter 20, that talks about Satan will get into bottomless pit before, just before Millennium Kingdom to be established. But at the end of a Millennium Kingdom, on the Great White Throne Judgment, the Satan put into Gehenna, lake of fire, forever. Yeah. So that time, you know, completely, Satan was put under Jesus Christ's footstool. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7, you have made him a little tower, and the angels, you have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hand. Basically, the human being, just a little below angel, but the angel above God, because Jesus Christ made below angel when Jesus came on earth. But you know, after the Jesus was dead, you know, God raised Jesus from the dead. So right now Jesus sit on the right hand of God. You know, that's basically talks about. And he put all things under his feet. So God put all things, all creatures under his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So Jesus has a head of all things. Then it's to the church. Then Jesus head of all things to the church. So then meaning church above is all things, but church head is Jesus Christ. Verse 23, which is his body, which meaning the church is Jesus' body, the fullest of Jesus who fills all in all. Basically, verse 23 talks about church. So church is, you know, basically Jesus' body. So church is ahead of Jesus. That's why we are listening to Jesus, direct Jesus saying, not in human being saying. Here, all things work together. One example, Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this Holy Spirit, which now you now see and hear. So each Christian has Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit dwells in each of you. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Because each Christian has Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit works through you. You are listening to the teaching of God's word here, apostles' doctrine and fellowship. After this teaching, we are having fellowship, sharing cookies, sharing water, you know, whatever, or sharing love and fellowship. Koinonia, in the breaking of bread. So breaking bread, you know, indicating communion service. Every month, you know, first week, we often have a communion service. Communion service is main purpose in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion, you know, the broken body and bloodshed. And in prayer, so we are praying. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because church is Jesus' body. So fullness over him together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach, the day approaching, the day when Jesus is coming again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have not need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Basically, eye didn't say the hand, I don't need your hand, need this hand. But otherwise head, you know, didn't say, but feet, you know, I don't need your basic meaning, requirement, you know, working all together in his body, which is the church. That is verse 23. Okay, let's see, you know, each question in verse 1. In verses 13 and 14, in him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What do they mean? Which meaning, after you heard of the gospel of your salvation, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which meaning the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Then the Holy Spirit also is a guarantee. Guarantee what? Until you are redeemed unto purchase possession to the place. You are redeemed to purchase possession until you go into the heaven, into the kingdom of God, in order to praise God. So that, you know, means. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what are the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Basically here the hope, and ultimately we can say hope is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In this context, you know, because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so you will be a member of inheritance of the kingdom of God in the future when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, when you go to into the heaven to see the Lord Jesus Christ. So particularly, you know, that means, so because of we are living on the earth, you know, physically, you know, someday, so we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ by rapture or by, you know, separation, by physical death, you know. The last question in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in you, in all. What does it mean in this context? This is his body, meaning the church. So the church, we are, you know, church. So the his body, so the body, through the Holy Spirit, we should work in together. The fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are following the Lord's direction through the Holy Spirit. So fills, you know, each of us, you know, all in all. Okay, let's just sing song all together. There is page 4, number 11. Then we will pray, we will take the cookie.